Welcome to another inspirational podcast at Real Life Church. For more great content and updates, visit reallifechurchkc.com.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Life Church. We are just so honored that you chose to spend your morning worshiping with us today. So whether you're with us in person here at Kentucky Trail or joining us online, I want to invite you to go ahead and stand to your feet. Let's worship God big together today.
I'm not afraid to die. is and how special it is that he is all of this. He's so big, but yet he has chosen us. He had everything in the universe, and he came today because of you, because he loves you, because he wants to know you. And so everything he did was because of that. So we're going to continue to worship our God this morning and the incredible things that can happen when we follow and trust him.
Thank you.
We do serve a God who brings dead things back to life, who breathes the breath of life into dry bones, and he can do that for you in your life too. Well, hey, this next song is just a perfect depiction of the gospel's love for us and all that he wants for you.
Let's give it up big for the King of Kings this morning. Man, I just love the journey that that song takes us on. From the very beginning to just a glimpse of our future where we will just worship together. The Bible says every tribe, every tongue, every nation, every knee will bow, tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I think it's going to be shocking in a really cool way. Who all's going to be up there with us? Are you excited for that glimpse of heaven this morning? Awesome, me too. Well, hey, it is so good to see you. We're glad you're here. And I want to welcome an awesome group of people this morning called Real Life Church Online. And I'm just wondering, everyone here in the room today, can you make them feel welcome? Can they hear you? man, Dan, whoo, like a voice from heaven. We love having you here, Real Life Church Online, but hey, we equally love having you right here in the room today. We're honored that you're here. Will you find someone around you? Will you wave? Will you smile? Will you make someone feel welcome and then have a seat? Awesome. I love watching you guys connect. It's been such a powerful morning already. I'm just excited to see what happens next. You know, if you're here this morning, we believe you are here on purpose, that your story does have significance. And I just want to especially welcome anybody online or in person who is brand new with us this morning. If you're brand new, we're just honored that you chose to spend part of your weekend right here with us. And I just want to give you some steps you can take. If you're brand new online, there's a link you're seeing right now. If you're live streaming with us in the comments, you can click on that. If you're brand new in the room today, or maybe you're not brand new, but you just haven't interacted with us yet, I invite you to get your phone out and text RL New to 97,000. When you do that, a member of our connection team would love to reach out to you this week and hear your story and answer any questions that you might have about Real Life Church and see how can we be praying for you and your family this week. It'd be our honor to do that. And if you're here in the room and you've never visited our New Here booth, well, first off, you can't miss it. It's right in the middle of the hub. And we would love to put a name to a face. And we do have a small gift for you. Just again, our way of saying thanks for being here today. If you already have your phone out and maybe church is new for you, maybe this is those first couple weeks, I just want to encourage you, find your calendar app and pencil in 11 a.m. Real Life Church, Kentucky Trail, these next three Sundays. And I think that God will really just honor that decision with the people you meet, the word that you're gonna hear from God's word, the chance to worship with like-minded believers, and the connections you can make. We would just love for you to be a part of that these next 3 weeks. Well, guys, a little bit more about us here at Real Life Church. We're a church on a mission. That mission is to see people far from God discover their real life and purpose in Jesus. And we believe that mission is really to be looking in our lives at those people that are close to us, but far from God. Maybe they don't even know who Jesus is. They don't know what God's word has to say. Maybe they're close to us though, and they do know Jesus. They're just not planted anywhere yet. They're just not really living in their gifting yet. And that's okay. That's where you play a role. The first step, pray. Pray over those people. The second step, be bold and invite. We would love to just make a connection with those people that are important to you, close to you, and maybe just not settled anywhere yet. You're going to hear some really practical ways that you yourself can join us on mission here at Real Life Church if you feel that you're not currently all in. We'd love to have you. We would love to have you. Well, guys, we believe in this season that God is just revealing his gifts and talents that he has gifted you with. We believe that every person is important. Every person is here on purpose and for purpose. I'm really excited about this series. You know, we talked last time thinking about movies, you know, these awesome movie scenes where if you remove the soundtrack, something's lacking. It just hits different, as the kids might say. But what if what's missing from our church is you and your gifts and your talents? We're gonna lean in today to see how you can plug in with your gifts and talents to the soundtrack of God. And here to tell us more about it is Pastor Sean Petrie. You are gifted for a purpose. Let's give it up for Sean today. He's got a word.
Good morning, Real Life. How you doing? You guys gonna be lively this week? Get a little rowdy? Come on, I want you to be rowdy like we were last Sunday night. I was getting a little crazy. Just a little bit. There you go, one person. I like that. Oh, man. Well, I'm excited. Today, we're jumping into the second part, really the final part of our short little series called Gifted. And if you missed last week, a little foundation was laid on that you are gifted from God. And really, the goal last week is to leave knowing two things. One, that you are gifted by God, and that this is why you're gifted by God. And so really the foundation that each of us have a gift, we're graced by God and given a gift by Jesus the moment we became a Christian. It's not just a natural gift, but there's a spiritual gift that's given to you that God is asking you to use. And so this series is about getting the body in motion, knowing you're gifted. And last week we asked you guys to, if you weren't sure you're gifting, you didn't know you're gifting, to take this little assessment called the Shape. And so there's a thing on the screen. If you forgot to take it or you haven't done this, you weren't here last week, I would encourage you to text RL Purpose 97000 and get the Shape. And so I'm going to ask you guys today, you kind of followed from last week, we're going to do this again. How many of you know that you're gifted by God? Put your hand there. How many know you're gifted by God? Come on, all the hands up, real high if you know. Be proud if you know. All right, how many of you know your gift from God? Keep your hand up if you know your gift. Real high. Don't be ashamed, you know your gift. All right, well, last week I joked about jumping off the stage. This week I'm jumping down off the stage, and all the hands went down. All right, we're going to pick, well, you got to come over here, Tim, because it's going to feedback on the speaker. So, all right, well, this is Short Tim. Hi, Short Tim. How are you, Tim?
I'm great. I'm blessed.
There you go. Amen. Not of this world, I can see.
Exactly.
All right, so you know your spiritual gift. What is your spiritual gift?
Evangelism.
Was that surprising? When did you find that out?
After I took the test.
How long ago was that?
Ooh, wow.
When you first joined the team?
Yes.
Okay. So maybe 6 months or something, three months.
Right, exactly.
So evangelist, was that surprising to find out?
100%.
Yeah, totally shocked you're an evangelist.
Right. I love people, but I didn't know I had the gift to bring people closer to God and to feel what I feel, which is on fire, and I love it.
Dude, that's amazing. Dude, that's amazing. I love how you said I have the gift to bring people closer to God. I've never heard like evangelism described like that, so that's pretty cool. Now, do you have an example of God using that gift recently or since you figured that gift out?
Oh, yeah. Actually, the last 2 weeks in our group, just reached out to people that I felt the need to say, you know, I know what you're going through. I feel the pain, and I know exactly how you feel. And this is what happened to me, and I want to share my gift with you and bring you a lot closer. And just say, hey, if I can make it, you can make it. And there's a mighty powerful God up there that saved me, and I know he can do the same for you.
Come on, Tim is preaching today. Give it up for Tim. Thank you, partner. That's amazing. All right, who else had their hand up that were gifted? So, man, they're awfully quiet all of a sudden. What? Your redo? All right, back here. What's up, Randy?
How you doing, buddy?
Big sexy. Glad you didn't wear your... All right, all the way back over here, we have Clint. And what is your spiritual gift?
Tim copied me in evangelism.
Hey, we got another evangelist in the house. Come on, somebody. So how have you seen God use that gift, or do you feel like that is a correct assessment of you?
You know, I feel like I'm a little bit of an influencer to my friends and family. And let's just say we had a Chiefs game last year, and I had a friend that was saying something about wanting to go to church, and I invited him, and and I think I've invited like 10 people now to this church, and I'm pretty proud of that.
Dude, that's amazing. Come on, give it up for Clint. Yeah, it's pretty amazing how, I mean, for you especially, like invitation and really celebration and sharing Jesus is kind of natural. But it's funny how you invite people and like, man, see what God does. It's simple, yeah. Simple enough to grow, you know?
Definitely working through me.
Yeah, all the evangelists are like, why don't people invite more people? Because not gifted like you, bro. Hey, thanks, Clint. Appreciate you, buddy. All right, anybody in this back row? This is the back row here. Anybody know their gifting in the back row? Spiritual gifting? Oh, baby. Oh, Dana called you out. Dana called. They're pointing all at Ashton. They're all pointing at each other. Do you know your spiritual gift?
Dana.
Oh, Dana. Oh, okay. What's yours, Dana?
Administration and giving were the same.
Administration and giving were the same. Look at this. Another administrator in the house, Holly. She's like the only one last week. So, Scott, was that surprising that was her gift?
No, not at all. She administers very well to me, so.
Does she give to you? We'll stop. All right, Brian. All right, so how does God use those gifts? Because I know a lot of stuff you do and stuff, and how is God using those gifts?
Well, I'm a business owner. So the administration, like I get to go out into the kind of non-church world,
yeah.
With the everyday, you know, people who don't have anything to do with church, and I get to share my faith every single day when I lead people.
Yeah.
Lead amazing. My employees, yeah.
Yeah, and you're gifted at what you do at that, just like a natural ability from God. So And then the giving part, I know you do stuff with life groups and you've helped out a lot of people that are hurting, like single moms, and you've really, I mean, maybe it's not the top gifting, but like helps, hospitality, and maybe share a little bit about your heart about helping people that need the help.
Yeah, I think that, you know, God has kind of given me that leadership side to be able to bring it into the church side. And so Scott and I just believe that, like, he's blessed us with having a home that can be comfortable for people when they're going through whatever they might be going through. And so we've just decided, like, whenever somebody asks us to use our church for, or use our home for church, like with teens or whatever, that we're going to say yes and try to make it a happy, healthy place for people to be and safe place.
Yeah, all the healing that happens in this relationship is amazing. So come on, give it up for the Germains, this crazy crew. Scott, what is your gift? You know your gift, don't you? What is it?
Pastoring? I don't know. I don't know. But my mission, so by God's grace, to lead and empower others to be their best. So wherever that lands.
Dude, that's awesome. So, I mean, exhortation. Come on. Scott, I don't know. A servant, exhortation, encouragement. There's so many. Dude, this guy, I mean, seriously, he shows up and sets up number thing. Mr. Smiley does his thing and loves on people. I don't know. You have a lot of gifts, dude, so it's cool. You're bald. That's a gift. So, all right, give it up for these guys one more time. Yeah, my encouragement for you guys today is that you would simply leave here saying, hey, I'm available for God to use my gift. So maybe you don't know what it is. It's all different. We all have different giftings and different things. But it's cool how you all you guys have just said something. You play a significant part of the story of our church, just as a whole, because you're inviting people, you're seeing people saved. You guys are caring for people so well. I mean, nobody sees all this stuff, but behind the scenes, there's people getting ministered to and seeing the grace of God. And so today, I want to encourage you just to put your hands out like this and say, God, I'm available. That's our goal today. By the time you leave here today, you're like, hey, whatever you want to do with my gift, God. I don't even know all my gifts. I don't know what it all looks like, but hey, I'm willing. And I want to put my gift to use. And so if you're gifted at certain things, put yourself in positions where you can use those gifts. And so today, just want to encourage you, we're going to take a little more practical side of the gifting, and it's going to be a lot of fun today. And so we're going to jump in, and I'm going to find my notes here. So yeah, I'll be fine where I'm at. It's going to be good. Here we go. All right, here's why. Ephesians 4. So yeah, all these different gifts, we went through this last week a little bit, but this is why you're gifted. It's important to start with the why. Why did God give you this gift? And so Ephesians 4:11, it really goes to the apex we talked about last week. And it says this, so Christ himself gave, he gave apostles, that's people being sent out on mission. He gave prophets, gift of discernment, wisdom. He gave evangelism, those who are love helping people see God and know God, kind of like Tim said. The gift of pastors, just shepherding, you know, loving on people, overseeing. The gift of teaching, taking hard things, making it easy, explaining it to others. And he did this for what? Help me out. To what? To equip. Come on, Tim is ready today. Come on, help me out. To equip. He gave you your gift, not for you. He gave it so you could use that gift for others. Amen? So he gave it for you to equip other people. And I love this. It says this. It says to equip his people, the Christians, for the work of service. And so if you're the kind of person that's like, man, I don't like people. I mean, I want to do things. I want to come set up. I don't want to deal with people. I don't like leadership. I don't like people. Guess what? Change. Because you're calling. If you have a job description as a Christian, it's to equip others to serve others. That's your job description. You may set up. That's what you're doing. But who you are, the gift that God has given you, is that you can equip other people to serve other people. And so all those people are like, I can't stand people listening. Dude, that's your ministry. Amen? That's your ministry. Don't complain about your ministry. God put those people in your life, and you get to go out and serve them and make a difference. And sometimes you get handed some lemons. Come on, somebody. You get handed some bad deck of cards. You get shuffled a bad hand. You're like, hey, God, what are you teaching me? You brought me these people. God, I'm faithful to serve these people, equip and serve others. So the gift isn't for you, it's for the person next to you. And I truly believe there's people counting on you using your gift. There's people in the hospital beds literally today that need somebody that has a gift of encouragement, the gift of helps, the gift of mercy, the gift of faith. Man, to show up and get to evangelism, come on, somebody, and show up to a bedside and be there and tell them that, hey, God's close to you, and I love you, I'm here for you if you need anything, and I'm missing you, and I'm sorry you're going through this. That's what the church is made for, amen? There's people in health battles. There's people in real addictions that nobody knows about. They're just pretending they don't have a problem, right? There's people who need help or asking for help. There's marriages that need help, that need somebody to come in and point them and model for them what a healthy marriage looks like. There are single parents struggling paycheck to paycheck with time and energy and emotional drain to grow their kids and do their best. We need people to come beside them, amen? They're teenagers that are searching for identity. They're young people, and you remember what it's like when you're young, right? And you're just kind of going with the wind and the waves and tossed to and fro, and they need some identity in Christ. They know that they can make it, that they're not alone, and they just shape their soul so they're going to keep battling for the things of God in their 20s. Their kids need a foundation in Jesus, amen? One of the coolest things I get to do is be a dad and to see my little kids grow and really closer to God, and that's something I didn't have when I was growing up, and so to watch my kids pray and to have them know a verse and to see how God's using our kids program and get to read the Bible with them and show them the things of God is like the coolest thing in the world, amen? Some of you guys are like, that sounds kind of boring. It's the coolest thing in the world. I mean, that is why we do this. I mean, there's no junior Holy Spirit, you know? I mean, just telling you, it's just so, I just love doing that. There's families that are living paycheck to paycheck. There's people struggling. There's life groups that need people. They need prayer. They need encouragement. They need to show up and not show up because you get something. You need to show up ready to give something. You need to show up and look with your eyes open and go, man, who can I minister to? And even if you're not in the group, after the group, you can call that person up. Be like, man, I was just kind of feeling like God was saying, and you just to share with them and point in the right direction. That's what we do as the church. That gift is in motion. That's why you're gifted. You weren't gifted to come to church. You're gifted to go out and serve and make a difference. You know, there's orphans in the house. I've never been to a church where there's not orphans in the house. I've never been to a church, ours included, where there's not people who don't need spiritual parents. I've never been to a church where there's people that are all mature in Jesus. We have babies in Jesus. We have a lot of new Christians that come to our church. We've got little toddlers. Come on, where's my toddlers, right? It's enough to get in trouble, cause a mess. I know what you're talking about, right? Something that happened last week, right? And then you got adolescents, you know, and teenagers, and they're crazy, you know. What they say, they're 14, you put them in a barrel and you drill a hole in it, and they're 16, you put a lid in the hole, you know, plug the hole, right? They go crazy on you. And then they become young adults, and the adults, and you try to mature them in Christ. That's how discipleship works. That's what the Bible says. And we need people to be parents to those people, to spiritually kind of take a role in their life, saying, hey, I'm not going to let you fail. I'm here for you. I'm praying for it. My door's always open. If you need anything, just make yourself available, right? There are people who are weary from hard work. Amen. You guys been out there tilling the fields, plowing the fields. Maybe it's just a lot of workload. Maybe it's just stuff you with your family. Maybe it's emotional toil. Maybe there's somebody that your whole dynamic has changed this week with somebody in the hospital or whatever. But people are weary from doing good, and you guys use your gift to encourage them. Amen? I know some weary people. Amen? Just telling you, that's just how it goes. And so I'm just going to let you know there's no plan B on this. Like you're in that situation. You see what's going on, and God is counting on you to pick up the phone. Some of you guys need to pick up the phone and just be like, hey, I was thinking of you. How you doing, bro? Some of you heard some news and you saw on Facebook and you're like, hey, I've got to make a phone call. Man, I'm going to do a little checkup, man. I saw this is going on. Is that true? Man, I'm so sorry. I'm here for you. Can I pray with you? Like, that's what the church does. Amen? We just don't scroll by. We stop. That's ministry. That's what God's calling us to do. And there's nobody else coming. It's just you. God has put you there. He's appointed you in this season, in this time, to use your gift to be the hands and feet, literally, come on, somebody, of Jesus. And so we all play part of the story. And so today I'm going to dive in. It's going to be really kind of a practical side today of how do you effectively use your gift. So I'm going to give you one premise, and I'm going to give you three principles. And the premise is going to be kind of not orthodox. It's not going to be a principle you're going to go, whoa, okay. You're going to shake your head a little bit on this one. You go, is this guy a pastor? I can't believe he said that. There's no way that, what? You're going to tweet this out and go, I can't believe I go to church here. Some of you guys are going to pack your stuff and be like, I'm out. This is crazy. All right? But here's the premise. You guys ready? Come on, somebody say you're ready. There's a few people ready. I like that. Here's the premise. Yeah, dun, dun, dun. I like that. Come on up here, Tim. You can be my music, all right? You can underscore as I speak. But here's the reality. We need to stop going to church. All right, that's it. Let's pray. I'm just kidding, right? No, but I'm not. Stop going to church. And here's my first practice on this. This is a very simple principle, but it's so important. Number one is this. We all play a part. There are no professional gifts in the body of Christ. Amen? There's no professional gifts. There's not a practitioner gift, and then there's patient gifts. There's no greater gifts and lesser gifts. We're all gifted in the body of Christ, the same significance. Amen? And so we don't show up on a Sunday and go, "Woo, look at these amazing gifts, and I get to be a part of receiving all these amazing gifts from these people. Oh, man, that pastor, I could never do that. Oh, they sing on stage, never do that. I could never do these things." No. We don't go to church and then watch professional gifts. Amen? That's not how it works. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 12. He says, "Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form what? Form one body." All these parts come together into one body that's working, and so it is with Christ. It's with the church. "For we're all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given to the one Spirit to drink." Do you know we're all drinking from the same well? We all follow the same Holy Spirit. Amen? We're all tied together. There's no better than, worse than, greater than, less than, professional, practitioner. You know, it's all the same. You're gifted by God, and you're called to use your gifts. Now, if the foot should say, "Well, because I'm not a hand, oh, I don't belong to the body. Like, I'm not gifted like that. I wish I was a hand." Who wants to be a foot? A stinky, nasty foot. My boy has the stinkiest feet in the world. Come on, somebody. He didn't like wearing socks. I'm like, "Dude, you smell terrible." I said, there's this beautiful girl in my class. I was like, "Really? That's cool, man. Do you want her to, like, notice you in a good way or in a bad way, you know? Stinky feet, right?" All the parents know what I'm talking about, right? I'm glad to get the training, not to have stinky feet. But what foot, man? I'm a foot. I want to be a hand. It would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If an ear should say, "Because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body. I'm not as good as the eye." I would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. I mean, hear all the time, like, "Oh, I could never preach. Oh, I could never go on stage. Oh, I could never sing like that. Oh, I could never tell somebody about Jesus." I mean, hear all the time. "I could never pray out loud in front of people." You see it all the time. It's like, bro, you know what? You're not called to be somebody else. Amen? Maybe you're not called to be up here on the stage preaching. Maybe you are. I don't know. But the reality is you're gifted. And what you're gifted at, you should be like, "Dude, this is what I do well. So I'm not called to be them." Like, "Bro, I'm so excited you're preaching. I wish I got the opportunity to. But guess what? Man, God's put me over here, and I'm an evangelist. Man, I'm reaching people in my circle. I'm caring for people and loving on people. I'm using my gift the way God's called me to use my gift." I mean, listen how Paul says this. And by the way, this church that Paul's writing to, if you don't know that, but Paul's writing to a church in Corinth, and a very literal local body church. And this church is so divided. It's like saying, they wrote for chapter 1, like, "I'm of Apollos, man. I was a disciple by Apollos, man. I was a disciple by Paul. Man, I was a disciple by Peter. Man, I'm better than you are." And this church is fighting over who's the greater gifted person. Isn't that funny? I mean, it's just so ironic, right? And then Paul is going to lay down the hammer. He says, if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, I love this, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, that's you and me, just as he wanted them to be. Dude, you were made for this. There's a part you play that God put you in that exact part, and you shouldn't want to be another part. Amen? You should play your part because God has given you that gifting. And so I want to maybe apologize as a pastor because we have, like, maybe not dove onto this, like failed to lead into this more than we should have. And as a church, and you're 5 years in, it's like, man, we get the body of Christ in motion. Like, you all need to know your spiritual gifting. You'd be like on fire for it. You know, wear that thing out. You know, you just use that thing as God called you to. And so I want to share with you a core value we have in our church. And this is something that, I mean, it's in the hallway, right? But it needs to move into our hearts. Amen. And it's called radical purpose. I'm just going to read it to you. And it says this: God has created, called, and gifted all people for radical purpose. He says we don't take pleasure away from God by destroying his original masterpiece. I mean, we're not destroying how God has gifted us. We're not destroying who we are in Christ. And that you are God's masterpiece. You're created in his image. You're formed in his image. We don't destroy his masterpiece and his specific purpose in our lives. So be yourself. Amen? Come on, you don't have to be somebody else. Just be the version that God has you to be. We aren't looking for any perfect people. You can just go and stay outside if you're perfect. We'll take notes from you later. Come on. We want broken people, which I believe is the greatest criteria for God to use your life and for your life to be changed, or maybe a marriage to be changed, or your family dynamic to change. Just be broken. Just be humble. Be contrite. Be ready to receive and open to change and say, God, what do you want me to do? And just, I'm available. So I want broken people to connect to their purpose and want them to equip and lead them from imperfection and humility. Ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. Just everyday people that God is using. He created, called, and gifted us for radical purpose. And it's our mission to expose and equip people to live for their God-given purpose. Man, I love this. I want to be the type of church where somebody comes in and they're exposed to the gifts of God. Like you come in and it's like, wow, man, that guy can break apart the word of God. That's really cool. You know, oh man, that guy, that was so encouraging. That guy sat next to me. I showed up the first Sunday and didn't know anybody. It was all weird. You remember the first time I went to church and it's just like, I'm going to a cult. What's going to happen today? Is this going to be awkward? And it always is awkward, right? And so you're that guy who goes, man, hey, I don't know if I've seen you around, but man, I love you. Yeah. Can I sit next to you? You want to go to coffee later? Just let me know. No big deal. I mean, just awkward, not awkward, but just friendly, right? And you're like, thank God somebody was encouraging. I mean, thank God somebody noticed me. Thank God somebody followed up with me. I mean, somebody made a friend. I got connected, right? Or you're showing up to church and somebody used their gift. And all of a sudden, people are exposed to the gifting of God. Oh, man, this church, they can serve. I mean, there's some people that love to give back. I mean, the generosity. I can't believe I showed up and then somebody blessed me. Somebody noticed something in my life and they gave to me. Maybe it wasn't a lot, but they gave you something. I mean, that's what the church does, amen? Have you ever been to a church and never got noticed? You ever been to a church and like, oh, wow, that was cool. I went to a church one time, and it was right after COVID. The church opened up, whatever. It was in person, right? And I showed up, and I'm thinking, well, this would be cool. Maybe I get to meet some of the leadership team or just, like, ask some questions and encourage people. And me and Diane went with the kids, and, dude, we saw everybody, but nobody said a word to us. Isn't that crazy? And we showed up, and the entire time, like, we were there 30 minutes early because I'm that guy. Come on, somebody. I'm taking notes. Like, I'm stealing everything but the staff. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, yeah, I like that, this and this. And it's just, like, cool. And then we're asking people, like, where's the bathroom? By the way, that's your first hint that they're new, right? When I say, where's the bathroom? But nobody even talked to us. And I waited after, and, like, nobody said a word. And we picked our kids up, and we left. And we're like, wow. I hope our church isn't like that. Amen? I mean, we notice people. I mean, it's incredible. I mean, like, I'm a pastor of a church dying to have a conversation with anybody and not a word from anybody. I mean, we got to be the most welcoming church in the world. People should be exposed to those gifts when they come here. And then we should be the most equipping church in the world. That when people come here and they start belonging to the body of Christ, that we're like, hey, guess what? We're going to put your body in motion. We need you. We're incomplete without your gift. We're a body of Christ, and we want to equip you to use your gift the best you can. We want to send you out, amen, to use your gift. Because guess what? It's not about coming on Sundays. We gotta stop going to church. What does that mean? It means you gotta stop going to church and start being the church. There is a huge difference between doing the work of God and being the work of God. It is astronomically different. If you think the idea of Christianity is that you show up on a Sunday and you watch other professional people do their gifts, you have totally missed out on the purpose of church. Amen? The point is that you would get here and restored and celebrated, encouraged, and built up. You hear the truth of God's word, and then you fellowship, you connect to each other, strengthen each other, use your guys' gifts to build each other up, and you go out the rest of the week and you live on mission with your gift, amen? That's what we're called to do, the Monday through Saturday. I mean, you should come in here like a hard work week going, whew, man, I tore this week up for Jesus. God, give me something for this week, amen? That's the kind of people we're called to live out and be. That's what the church is about. It's not about sitting. You know, churches are known for three things, and they measure three things really well. They measure butts, budgets, and buildings. Come on, somebody. That's how you know a church is healthy. How many people show up? How big's your budget? And are you real yet? When are you guys going to get a building? I'm like, dude, we'd love to have a building, but the building isn't the purpose. Amen? The building's a tool that facilitates the purpose. And so they go hand in hand, but the reality is these aren't the measurement. The measurements are the people of God in the church. This is what Paul says. He says, the eye cannot say to the hands, verse 21, if I need you, if I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you, On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. There's parts of the body that are indispensable. They seem weak, like, oh, my gift isn't very, it's not amazing to be the pancreas. Come on, somebody, right? But just take that out, you know? I mean, like, you play a part of the body of Christ. Now, think about this. You guys remember COVID, and they start trying to play that whole game of, like, you're essential. Remember that? You're an essential worker. You can keep working. And they tried to delineate, like, who was had the ability to stay home because they just really weren't essential to everything. And then you figured out pretty quickly that the trash guy was essential. Come on, somebody, right? And the janitor was essential, and all the people that had the shipping and all the people between there and here and all the other people were essential. Amen? That we all played a part of the whole. Like, we all were interdependent. And we're all connected. Well, it's the same way in the body of Christ. We're all essential for Jesus. Amen? There's not a non-essential piece. Like, just stay on the sideline. It's not really essential. Just come. Everybody else has got taken care of. Like, no, you are essential for the work of God to be accomplished in a local church. Amen? So your gift matters. And so I encourage you to use your gift. Now, apparently, Paul's writing this, obviously, to people who think that there is greater gifts and less than gifts, right? That there's less honorable gifts. And so I just want to ask the question, is it less honorable to be a custodian than a pastor of a church? Is it less honorable to hold a broom instead of a microphone? Is there less honor in cleaning a toilet? Come on, somebody. No. No. Matter of fact, you actually get more honor because you're doing something behind the scenes that nobody wants to do. And so you get more honor for doing that. I mean, everybody wants the spotlight, but who wants to be on the back? I mean, who wants to, you stand on the shoulders of all these people. And so the reality is this for us, I mean, at least my heart, is when Frank is here and he cleans our building, we serve Frank, amen? Like, yeah, he gets paid by the school to be here. That's part of his job. But guess what? He is one of the greatest servants you'll ever meet in your life, and we serve him because he serves us so well. And the reality is, we go the extra mile. Like, if he's, for instance, we had the baptism up here, and we had this gaff tape. It's that black tape. It's everywhere. And, dude, that tape, I don't know what cheap on me or something. I don't know what happened. It started leaving all the residue everywhere. And so we had, like, lines going through the whole building, right? And guess who has to clean that? Frank, right? And so we stay late, and we sit there, and we scrape the floor for Jesus and Frank because we serve Frank. Amen? That's what we do. That's who we are. That's our heart. We're not above doing that stuff and serving people. Is it less honorable to be a single mom and raising kids and fighting for that turf and that ground and all the emotion to go with it than it is to be a children's director or a children's pastor of a whole area of a church? Or isn't he less than? No. It's honorable to do that. Matter of fact, I mean, God bless them, you know? Like, we need to serve those people. We need to get low and help them because they need the help. Is it less honorable to be sitting or setting up the stage rather than standing on it? Come on, somebody. Some of you who are in this room today set this stage up, amen? And it's no less honorable to put these Allen wrench pieces in and bleed on the floor because it cuts you than is it, come on, somebody, than to stand up here and hold a microphone. There's no less honor. It's the same amount of honor. Is it less honorable to stand in the hub and greeting people, welcoming people, than it is to sit at the boardroom table? Is it less honorable? No. It's the same amount of honor. Paul says this, all the parts are unpresented, are treated with special modesty, while our presented parts need no special treatment. There's parts behind the scene that get special treatment because of what they do. Amen? They get low and they serve. Somebody's cleaning the poop up, amen? Wiping butts for Jesus, amen? The nursery, right? They get special honor, amen? Where's my nursery spouses, nursery leaders, nursery people serving the nursery? Where's all the parents that send their kids back there? Come on, somebody, right? I mean, seriously, it's like there is honor in doing that. No, I mean, you wouldn't sign up to wipe your own kid's butt. Come on, somebody, you know? But these kids do it for Jesus because they play a part of the story. They get honor for that. There's no lesser gifts or greater gifts. The reality is this. Instead of looking at everybody else's stuff, all you got to say is, man, I'm gifted by God. I'm gifted by God, and you're gifted by God. And you just play your gift the best you play that gift, bro. And so when you do something amazing, I'm like, dude, thank God. Praise God. I'm not jealous of what they're doing. I'm not jealous of another church that's growing and tearing up for Jesus or a guy that's witnessing and sharing people with Christ. I'm like, man, you go, boy. You get him. Amen. I mean, that's what we're called to do. There's honor in honoring those different parts of the body. We're not trying to be somebody else, right? We all play a part of the story. Paul says this in verse 24, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked. And so there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other, that we care about each other. We walk in here, it's like, how you doing? Are you doing good too? That's equal concern. It's not I go to church, I hang out with my three friends, I go home, I go, man, I don't really feel connected. Oh, that's interesting, because all you're concerned about is you and your one friend. That's cool, man. If your one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If part of the body suffers, by the way, there's always part of the body suffering, amen? Where's my middle-aged older people? Come on, somebody. Are you hurt by sleeping? Come on, somebody, right? I'm not going to complain about myself. It makes me sound too old, but, dude, I hurt. Come on, right? There's parts of me that hurt. Just staying here just hurts, right? I'm just telling you. If you don't admit it, it's okay. It just does, right? And if parts of it suffer, then we all suffer together, amen? And we go, man, how can I help you? And if parts of you rejoice, then guess what? We rejoice together. And if you get like a rock star on the team, you're like, dude, you're killing it. Guess what? We're happy for you because when they get honored, we all get honored, amen? Because they're doing something amazing for Jesus. I'm not going, oh, man, I didn't get, why didn't I get the rock star this week? You know, I should have been, oh, I'm the rock star, right? Like, no, man, it's like, dude, praise God that this person's using their gifts and other people noticed it. That's amazing. Now that you're the body of Christ, each one of you plays apart. We are one body. Matter of fact, Paul was so passionate about this, he actually wrote this next chapter. This is the end of chapter 12. And chapter 13 is like one of these chapters of the Bible that's taken out of context, I mean, every single time it's used, almost. It's the chapter on love, come on somebody. And you find it at every wedding, a little bit out of context. It's not wrong, it's just not really ever explained. That this is written, chapter 13 is actually written in the context of there's people that are dividing over their gifts and who is has the greatest gift and who's a lesser gift and I'm not that good and I can never be gifted like that person. All this contention and division in the church. And he writes this chapter 13. And Paul says this, if I have not love, I am, that's your chance. Somebody said it. I'm nothing. I can have all these things. I'd be the greatest orator in the world. I'd be the greatest evangelist in the world. I'm the biggest servant in the world. And have not love, I am nothing. Without the love of God. That's the conduit of which we use our gifts. And he goes on to explain this type of love we should have for each other in our gifting in the body of Christ. He said, love is patient. We're patient with other people in the body of Christ. Love is kind. It doesn't envy. It doesn't boast. It's not proud. It doesn't dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not eagerly angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. I mean, what a great description of love right there. Come on, somebody. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. I do. You may kiss the bride, right? And I'm not saying you don't use that in a wedding. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying the reality is it's written that you are gifted. You're using your gift. You're not jealous of people's gifts. You're putting your gift into motion. And I have not love. I am nothing without this gift. So if you're going to be effective with your gift, you got to really realize you got to stop going to church and start being the church. That means you start valuing the gift that God's given you. God has gifted you. He has given you something in your life that is unique to you that he expects you and counts on you to use to further the kingdom of God. And I'm not talking about coming on Sunday. Amen. I'm talking about living that out in your life, in your family, in your work, where you play, where you go to school. All these places in your life, you're using your gift for God. So number two, if you effectively use your gift, number one, there's no professional gifts. Number two, you got to stop thinking programs and start thinking people. And this is really important because people always ask me, how's church doing? And they want me to tell them a number. Like, I'm like, oh, man, it's great, this, and this person, that. No, how many are coming on Sunday? Oh, 300. You know, I mean, that's a number, right? That's what they want. But that's not a picture of the church. That's just a number. They say, well, how's church doing, man? Oh, the worship was on fire. Or you leave, it's like, man, that was all right. Dude kind of laid an egg. It's all right, though. I'll go back next week, right? I mean, just what it was. It was a little boring, but hey, I got through it, right? I mean, or it's like, man, that message was amazing. It was awesome. But see, when somebody says, how was church? None of those qualify as the actual answer of how was church. Think about this. How was life group? I hear this all the time. I'll say, how was life group? And they'll say, oh, man, I only had three people. Man, people couldn't make it. Oh, competing. Oh, the Chiefs game was moved to Monday night. Oh, my group, it was suffering bad. Come on, somebody, right? By the way, if your group's on top of the Chiefs game, you should cancel it. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. Not really. All right. But how was your group, right? How was your group? It was only three people. Okay. Well, how were the people in your group? Amen? What is God doing in those three people's lives? I'm not interested in the program. I'm interested in the people that are in the program. You know that programs are designed to serve people. People aren't designed to serve programs. Amen? I'm just telling you, if you look at the New Testament church, I truly believe that we could delete every program in every church in the whole world if you follow the New Testament model church. Here's how it works. Everybody was unified in one prayer and one faith, and they unified together, and they sold what they had and gave it to each other in need, and they're one mind, and they prayed, and they fasted, and they were just unified. And what happened? The church, what? Grew daily. That's it. They cared for each other. They used their gifts to pour into each other, care for each other, build each other. I mean, it wasn't program, 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 program. And we're not a program-heavy church, okay? But the reality is this. It's not about any program. It's about the people of God and what he's doing in the church. That's what we call a gathering, amen? The church that gathers. People are like, it's so weird, like a gathering. It's like, well, what is it? It's not a service. We're not serving. What are we serving, you know? We're gathering together as a church. And by the way, we gather together so we can scatter and go out throughout the week and use our gifts, amen? We're gathering. The church is you guys, amen? I love when people are like, I can't stand the church. It's like, oh, well, that's your friends, you know? I mean, it's all of us, and it's not. It's like, oh, I don't like this about the program. Okay. But like, when you talk about the church, you're talking about the people of God, amen? Those are Christians that are saved by grace and faith. And so the reality is this, that we come together so we can strengthen each other as a church. We can equip each other, equip and serve others. And so people say, how is church? All of a sudden, the answer's got to change a little bit. Hey, how was church? You know what's cool? I saw God. He saved three people this week. There's three people at Rescue Valley, transformed their life, they committed their life to Jesus. That was church, amen? Three people were added to the church. Come on, somebody, right? I stayed after, had the best conversation with somebody. Somebody was really struggling, they're walking through a season, and man, the best 5 minutes I had all day was talking to that person and get to pour them a little bit of the hope and encouragement found in Christ. That's church, amen? That's what church is. It wasn't how many people showed up. Man, I met somebody new and connected with them. You remember what it's like to walk in the first time and it's so awkward and weird? I mean, it'd be amazing. You'd be like, hey, man, how long have you been coming to Real Life? Great question, by the way. Don't ever ask how long I've been coming. Like, oh, I've been coming for 4 years. You're like, oh, sorry, man, I haven't met you, you know? But it's like, hey, how long have you been coming to Real Life? Oh, man, it's my second week. Yeah, it's so cool, man. I'm so glad you're here. If you ever need anything, man, my name's Sean, and I'm always here for you, dude. And you know, I got your phone. Hey, take my number down. Just anything, dude. That goes so far for people. People just like, oh, these guys really care about me. And they do, right? You think about church. Man, I met somebody new, connected with them. I mean, I sat by somebody during the gathering. Man, I saw a post online. I mean, this happens every single week. Somebody's heard and they put like a, I don't know what you call it, like a, it's not direct. But they put online, and it's like something's going on, but you don't know what it is, you know? They kind of put that out there like, man, it's a hard week. And then like, okay, you know what that is? That's an opportunity to be the church, amen? We're like, okay, man, what's going on? Hey, just so you know, I saw you had a hard week praying for you, man. Let me know if I can help at all, man. I'm here for you. That's the church does. Man, how about this? You know what? How's life group? By the way, this was me about the three people because I had like 10 signed up and three came. And you know what? It was like the best life group week I've ever had, amen? It was like, man, God gave those three people and put us together right at the right time. I call it an upper room conversation. Like all of a sudden, like, hey, man, God's in this, and we're just stepping in. It was like, you know, Peter, James, and John hanging out with Jesus, and we're like, dude, we're just going to put Jesus in the center of this conversation. And it was so much fun. That's what the church does, right? How was church, man? Well, I was at work this week, and I was praying and had an opportunity to talk to somebody about God, and they were really struggling about their marriage, and I got a chance just to pull them to Jesus, and God opened the door. Amen? That's the church, right? Or I followed up with this guy. I saw him on Sunday. I hadn't seen him in a while, and I was like, man, how you doing? Man, I haven't seen you in forever, dude. It feel like it's been months, man. How you doing, man? I've been missing you. How you doing? Man, how about this? How was church? Hey, church was great. Man, I got a chance to pray with my kids last night. And, you know, we went through a story in the Bible, went through those Bible books. I loved doing it with my kids. And to listen to them pray, man, it was so awesome. That was church. How about that for an answer for church? So when somebody asks you how church was, you got to remember, you got to stop going to church and start being the church. Amen? Like, dude, what are you doing in motion? What are you doing outside of coming on Sunday morning? Like, what impact are you making with your gift? That's what I want to know when I ask the question, how was church? Last thing is this. Be available for God to use your gift. Third principle. If you want to be effectively using your gift, just be available. Literally say, God, I whatever you want me to do. Like, I don't know where you want me to go. I'm not proficient at using my gift. But God, I'm willing. Like, I'm willing. I'm here, God. Just put me in. I'll start learning. This is what it says in 1 Peter 2:9. It says, but you are a chosen people. This is talking about Christians. You're a chosen people. You're chosen by God before the foundation of the world. You're a royal priesthood. You don't need to go through anybody else to know God. You're a priest, that you have access to God, a royal priesthood because you're in the line of Jesus. You're a holy nation. You're set apart from the rest of the world as Christians. You're not supposed to look like anybody else. You've got special possession. He owns everything, but you're the special possession. And because of all these things, I love these three words. He says, that you may. There'll be a series coming up called That You May. That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into marvelous light. So let me get this right. God chose me. God adopted me. God called me a priest. He put the Spirit inside of me. I'm his special possession. All that I may have the opportunity to use the gift that God has given me to point up and say, it's all for Jesus. That he is the light of the world. He is a good God, and I can make the most of him in this lifetime. Do you guys ever like movies? Any movie buffs out there? Where's my movie buffs? Who watches movies like crazy? There's a few of you. Yeah, I heard somebody about you, right? I'm one of those guys. I love movies, and it's just my thing, right? And what's cool about a movie is it's really like this giant work of art with all of these people that are really gifted or really using their gift in the right way. When you think about this, a movie, there's really only a few people in the light, in lights, right? On the heading of the Netflix tag, or used to be boxes, you know. There's only a few people's names you know. And if you're a part of that movie and you're using your gift, I guarantee the first thing you do is you scroll to the end and you see the credits and you're like, whoa, that was me, right? The font 8 with 15 people next to you with all their stuntmen, right? You're like, that was my gift, right? But all those gifts come together to make this beautiful, amazing piece of art that it moves emotions, that drives. You think about this. There's a study that said that there's 21,000 times that your eyes move in a movie. Just you're flicking from different things, right? And it said this. It said that most people, on average, are staring at the exact same spot on the screen. Isn't that crazy? That the way that the lighting guy and the film and the angle, the shot, and the score, the music, put your eyes exactly where they want to be every single time. Because they're eliciting a feeling, a response. They're trying to draw you into a storyline. And really, there's a lot of gifts that happen in the movie. There's guys who move cables called grips. There's guys that hold sandbags and move lights. There's guys that push dollies. There's guys that do stuff that you don't think is sexy. They didn't write it, they didn't orchestrate it, they didn't direct it, they didn't act in it. And there's thousands of people that play a part of a movie. And we get to do that for Jesus, amen? Like, we're the soundtrack of God. Now, I want you to think about this. There's a piece of a movie that's so underrated, you wouldn't even know, you wouldn't care about it until it wasn't there. Like, you don't even ever think about it. And it's called The Underscore. It's like right now, this is Underscore. She is playing music as I'm talking. There's Underscore. And there's scoring. There's actual music that happens in a movie. And you change that. You write that. A different person composes it. All of a sudden, the movie's a totally different movie. And you think about movies that you like. If you take out the score or the underscore, it is a terrible B-rated movie. Star Wars is a terrible movie without a score. Thank you, John Williams. Come on, somebody. Amen? I'm just telling you, that movie wouldn't exist without that music. And you start going through all the different movies you've seen that have amazing score. I'm going to tell you how to score a movie. It's really cool. So what happens is the composer, he writes for the movie, he just gets the edits as they come in, and he writes a song, a feel. He gets all these instruments together, some of the crazy stuff in the world, like you wouldn't even consider to be an instrument, and they put together what they think is the theme, like a feel. And they try to add distress or whatever direction they want people emotionally driven, and they make motifs, and it just themes that run throughout the movie and the songs and all this crazy, awesome stuff. And they finally get the final edit, and they get to hone in. And they finally finish their composing, and they get their orchestra out, or their choir, whoever's in this band, pieces, right, all this, and they start conducting. What they do, though, is very special, is all the people like you guys are in the audience are looking at me, but that guy that's conducting, sitting on this maybe one-foot platform, he picks up his baton, it looks, there's a giant screen in front of him, just like our screen, that's playing the movie. He's got an earpiece, and he's listening to the movie, and he strokes in a downbeat. And he starts scoring what he has written to the thing that's happened in the movie. It's exactly his time and place, eliciting that feel and that emotion exactly in that moment. Is that cool? Like what these people do just for a movie, just for you to feel something. To feel that moment, that tearjerker moment, and the oboe comes in. Come on, somebody, right? And you can't hear everybody in a orchestra. You do, but you don't. Like, what's unique about music is if I stop playing, you could never figure out I stopped playing when I'm in an orchestra. You may notice something's different, but you can never figure out it's me. There's so many people. And that's the reality that we play the part of story God-like. Nobody's sitting there in a spotlight, oh, we can't do it without you. That solo moment thing, you know? We always play a little part and play it faithfully. And without that little part, it's not complete, amen? I mean, can you say like, hey, John Williams, take out the trumpet section. Don't need those people. Dun, da-da-da, you know, don't need the piano, right? Don't need these little things. I mean, imagine being an orchestra without a section. I mean, imagine being a church without part of the body of Christ. And this is what God's calls me. He calls me the soundtrack of God. And so I want to encourage you, you use your gift and you have the ability, in a very real sense, that you can help people take their eyes off themselves and the eyes off the world around them. And you can get them to take their eyes to Jesus by the gifting and the soundtrack you play in their life. You can be the kind of person when people get around you and all of a sudden that inspirational music comes on and that hair stands up on the end of the, you know, on their arms because you spoke into their life a word of hope and encouragement in a hard season. And they're going to leave going, man, thank God I ran to you because that was one of the coolest movies I've ever seen because you played a soundtrack of God. You know, you get to set the mood in the room as a soundtrack of God. You know, if you took 30 different composers and you put them to one movie, you're going to have 30 different movies. And you get to write with your gift what God has given you, the movie that God has called you to put, the song that he's put in your life to people. And so don't ever underrate that. Like, don't ever like, oh, I'm not gifted. Oh, I'm not that. No. You set the temperature of the room. Amen? Amen? Come on, somebody. Like, you change it. You know, I'm telling you, you can take something below average and make it great by just putting God in the middle of it. Just like, hey, I don't know what this is going, but look what God's doing. And just play your part faithfully. Be the hands and feet of Jesus, that you're the soundtrack of God. And what's cool about it is you're not alone. You do this whole thing as a church. You do it together. Matter of fact, it says in Matthew 5:14 that we should do with our gifts and being the soundtrack of God. It says you're a light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. You can't hide that, bro. Nobody's going to see you coming. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand. It gives light to everyone in the house. That's usually where we try to put lights in the center of rooms, right? It said the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So here's what I'm asking you to do based on this scripture is let your light shine. I say, God, I don't know. My light has been under this bucket. I didn't even know I was gifted. I haven't been really doing anything with my gift. I know I'm a light, but I don't really use it strategically. I know I'm a light, but I'm a little shade over here. I'm just kind of hiding in the corner. But today I'm saying, God, I'm available. So put me on light, on a stand. Like, just put me out in the middle of the room. Like, I want people to see my gift. Amen. I want people to know what my gifting is. I want God to use my gift. I want people to look at me and go, man, it's only because of God. Like, I want to be able to point people to you, and I don't know who my light is going to touch. I don't know what people are going to be changed or who people have changed or what's going to be launched or what God's going to do, but I'm going to be faithful to shine my light. Amen? That's what we're called to do. We don't know what God's going to do through our light, but we're going to stand up tall. So I want to invite you to say, I'm available for God to use my light. I want to encourage you to play part of the story. You know, church is not a Sunday thing. But we're a body of Christ. So we're called to make a difference in this community. And I'll encourage you to play the story that God has for your gift in different areas. One is at home. Use your gift. If you think your spouse should be like you and you don't understand each other, if you don't understand your spouse, then welcome to the gifting of God. Come on, somebody, right? Because they're not you. They complete you. God puts you together on purpose. You complement each other with your gifts so you can be on mission to live for Christ. Amen? I said, Scott, is this Daniel's gift? Oh, yeah, that's their gift. Oh, yeah. Gifted for God. Together doing things great for God. That's what we're called to do. So use your gift at home. Use your gift where you work. Bring your gift with you. Don't hide that gift, bro. Put that up on the lampstand. Everybody in your work should know, man, that guy's gifted for God. That guy loves people. That guy's prays for people. That's an evangelist. That guy, he's all about truth, man. He gives the truth and love. But, man, he knows truth. Like, people should know your gift because you're living out there. The last thing is this. Man, as a body of Christ, we want you to use your gift in the body itself. Amen? Some of you guys are gifted life group leaders. You have the gift of hospitality. You have the gift of helps. You have the gift of mercy. You have the gift of faith. Some of you guys are gifted servants. You have the gift to set up, tear down, play behind the scenes anywhere. Some of you guys are gifted administrators. You can put things together. You can understand that. Trust me, a lot of people don't know how to do that. Amen? I can do everything but the books, you know? I mean, just whatever your gift is, be available to use it. So I'd invite you guys, if you're not serving our team, to come to our Crash Course today and say, God, I'm available to use my gift. If you're serving the team, thank you for using your gift. Amen. The church will only move at the pace of which people say, I'm a part of the body of Christ, and I'm willing to play my part. I'm willing to push in and be sacrificial and play the part that God has for me. So I'd invite you guys to play your part. So guys, put your hands like this today. Put your hands out. I'm going to pray for you. God, I'm available. Available to use by you, God. God, you haven't moved. I've been moving. Today I'm coming back to you, God. Put my life, my light on a stand. I want my family to see it. I want my community to see it, my workers to see it. People work for me, people I work for. God, I want my community to see it, my neighbors to see it. God, I want my light to shine. God, help me to be honed in my gifting. When people say, what's my gift? Oh, this is my gift. How you using your gift? Oh, man, I can't tell you. There's so much God's doing. God, allow us to be the most available, focused in, strength of our gift people in the world. God, let us be a church that equips others in their gifts. God, use us if you use anybody. God, we are available for you. I'm going to pray for one more group of people today, and that's those of you that say, you know what? I realize today that I'm only here because people use their gifts. And I recognize that I'm a masterpiece of God. You're saying things I've never heard before, Sean. I've never heard this. So who is Jesus? Jesus, sin, the Son of God. He came here 2,000 years ago, died on a cross for your sins. He loves you. He spilled all his blood on that cross so he could pay the penalty for all of our wrongs, past, present, and future. And that he's made a way for you to know him by simply believing that he died on a cross for you and the Son of God. And today, if you confess your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised the dead, you will be saved. And God will give you a gift, and you play a part of the story of the orchestra of the soundtrack of God today. And so if you need Jesus, then I'd be looking around. We just lift your hands in the air and say, man, I need Jesus today. I need what God is doing in this room. I feel his presence. Come on, if that's you, just pray this. Say, Father God, thank you so much for sending Jesus to die on a cross for me. God, I don't have a lot to offer, but you can have my life, God. I want to serve you. God, thank you for the gift you're going to give me. God, I want to live for you. And I praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, church, let's give it up big for Jesus. Come on, let's do a little better than that. Come on, give it up.
Hey, I just want to say what an awesome job you do just to not only encourage us, but call us out too, not just to discover our gifts, but to actually put them to work. And hey, if you prayed that prayer today, it's not the end, but just the beginning of a journey with Jesus. And we're excited for you. We would love for you to let us know that. There are two ways you can do that. The first one is just by texting RLNEXT to 97,000. When you do that, you'll get a link for some free resources. And someone from our team would love to give you a call this week. Reach out. Just love on you and encourage you as you start that journey. Another one is here. If you're with us in person at Kentucky Trail, as you exit the worship center, there's a bag with red bags on it. Please grab one as you exit. There is a Bible in there for you and some more resources for you too as you begin your journey with Jesus. And every hand raised and every life that's committed to Jesus, not just today, but that's credit to so many of your account. And that's because you've made yourselves available, not to just discover your gifts, but to use it week in and week out to serve people. And that's our dream team. So love you guys. Thank you so much for serving on the dream team. You guys are truly making a difference, not just here in our city, but beyond. I've got a few next steps for everybody in the room today. And the first one is this. Are you ready to discover your gift like Sean shared today? Man, there's so many talents and abilities that you have, and you might not even know they're from God. So I encourage you to take that step, discover your gifting today. You can access the assessment tool we use, which is called The Shape, by texting RL Purpose to 97,000. You'll get a link with, you'll get a message back with the link on how to take that assessment. We'd also love to know your gifting. If you want to share those results with us, you can send them to info@reallifechurchkc.com. But there are people waiting to be served, to be prayed for, just to be loved on and welcomed and encouraged. They're waiting for you to discover your gift and put it into action. So that's my encouragement for you today. Maybe if you texted this number last week when you were here and you discovered your gift this week, well, I've got a next step for you, and that's to come on out to Crash Course this afternoon from 2 to 4:30. And by doing that, you'll just get to connect with Sean and Diane, some of our other leaders too. They just want to connect with you, hear your story, help you discover your gifts, and then find a place to put those into action here at Real Life Church. And lastly, fall life groups. We are just getting ready to start week 4. What an awesome place to use your gifts. To come into group, not just to be poured into, but to pour out as well. Love on people, serve people, pray for people, encourage people as you do life together in a life group. So it's not too late for you to sign up. You can join a group by going to reallifechurchkc.com, or you can check them out in the hub. And lastly, it is your generosity that moves the mission forward. Every dollar you give truly changes souls, not just here in our city, but beyond. So I want to encourage you to be generous. If this is your first Sunday here with us, we don't want anything from you. We want something for you. And this gathering is just our gift to you. We're so thankful that you joined us and hope this was a blessing for you. But if you do call Real Life Church home, there are 3 ways that you can take part in generosity. The first one is by going to reallifechurchkc.com. You can also text any amount to 84321, or you can drop cash or check in the giving box in the back. And as the ushers come forward and pass the buckets here in a minute, if you find yourself or your family in immediate need of food, clothing, or shelter, please reach into the bucket and grab any loose cash so that we can be a blessing to you and your family. And hey, check out this video of a few of our dream teamers, how they discovered their gift and how they're putting it into action. Check it out.
Hey, Christian, I got a question for you. Do you know your gift?
Yes.
What is your gift?
Just like serving, in any capacity I can serve. Just being, doing stuff.
How does it feel to use your gift
Good.
For God?
Satisfying.
Joel.
Hey.
Are you gifted?
Some would say.
Do you know what your gift is?
Probably music. Yeah, music, mainly.
How does it feel to use your gift for God?
Feels great. I mean, I feel like that's the whole purpose of serving is finding what you're good at serving with and using that to God's glory. So.
Wait, what am I doing?
Do you know what your gift is?
Do I know what my gift is?
Yeah.
Yes.
What is it?
It is evangelism.
How do you use your gift?
Oh, how do I use my gift?
Parking lot preacher.
Yeah, I've been known to go out to random places and random people and be there in a way that I never thought, because I never realized I had that gift until coming to Real Life Church. And what an awesome thing that is to find your gift with the help of people that not only love you, but they want to take that opportunity to get to know you.
Rob, do you know your gift?
I do not know my gift.
Do you want to know your gift?
I do want to know my gift. I'm going to take the assessment and find out.
Are you excited for that?
I am. I'm very excited. I would love to know what my gift is.
What do you think it is?
Probably serving people.
What am I doing? Hello. Okay. 1, 2, 3.
Do you know your gift?
Yeah. I would say my gift is creative, using the emotional side of myself to get that, convey that through creativity and video and production.
That's awesome. How does it feel to use that for God?
It feels really good to use my creative gifts and skills for God's kingdom, just so, I can move other people and just give them a sense of what God is doing in their lives.
Do you know what your gift is?
Evangelism.
All right. How does it feel to use your gift?
It comes natural. I love using my gift, and I pray every morning that God puts someone in my path that I can use my gift with. Go to Crash Course today, and there you will find out what your gift is. They will give you a test, so many questions. It takes a little bit of time, but man, do you get to really learn a lot about yourself just from the results of that test.
Dan, I thought your gift was blowing stuff up. Is that what? Oh, it's evangelism. That secondary gift. Hey, more than one gift. Do you guys know what your gift is? You can find out. Take that shape test. Come out to Crash Course. God's got something good for you in the gifting that He's given you. Hey, if you need prayer for any reason, we'll have a team member up here. We would love to pray with you. Can't wait to hang out with you guys at a life group this week. Find the life group that you need to be a part of if you haven't yet. Can't wait to see you guys next week at either 9:30 or 11. And as always, remember, whoever finds Jesus discovers real life and purpose. See you next week.